wouldn't you rise in body and spirit and worship with us this morning?
Israel.
I pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go and help us to be wise in time when we don't know. Let this be our prayer when we lose our way. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace. Give us faith so we'll be saved. I pray we'll find your light and hold it in our hearts. When stars go out, when shadows fill our day,
lead us to a place,
guide us with your grace,
give us faith
so we'll be
I think I'm going to make the choice that scripture reading should happen after that instead of me. Oh, wow. So beautiful. Thank you, EL and Melinda and the band. I think that just gives us a snippet of what's about to happen tonight, right? Holiday concert, huh? All right, all right. Well, this morning, we continue our four-part sermon series, Awaiting the Already. And last Sunday, the Harmony Faith community, we were blessed to receive such a superb message from Pastor Emeritus, Reverend Sharon Rhodes Wickett. And what she did was she gave us the prepare focus on a scripture that came from the gospel according to Mark, and it incorporated the arrival of Jesus and his participation in the sacrament of baptism, and along with Harmony's participation in the sacrament of communion. And this sacramental combination, and this is important, I want it to be clear that it not only prepares us for the presence of Christ at the beginning of our journey of discipleship, this continues throughout our journey of discipleship. And what's captured in this season that is known as Advent is this dynamic tension. It's a dynamic tension that happens between the past and the future, but also we have this hopeful anticipation that's in the present. And so on each of these Sundays, what we're going to be doing is we're focusing in the sermon series. We have scriptures from the four Gospels, and they're helping us prepare to receive Christ in a new and fresh way. And in this dynamic tension that is occurring, we are awaiting the already, not just by ourselves. We're awaiting the already together. Today's scripture comes from the gospel according to Matthew, and it's chapter 1, verse 18, and it goes through chapter 2, verse 6. And the translation will be read from the New Revised Standard Version, and the verses, they'll be shown up on the TV monitors for you to see. I'll invite Jonathan Calderwood to come forward to share this morning's reading with us. Again, Matthew 1:18 to 2:6.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.
Thank you, Jonathan, for sharing the word with us. And may God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. So as I mentioned in the question of the day, today we're focusing on choices. That's a subject matter that will place emphasis in the scripture. And the scriptures that will be read during the sermon series, it's from Gospel of Matthew. It's the one that from the Gospel of Matthew that brings us the Advent narrative with a reality check, because it's got some choices, some challenging choices here. And last year at this time, for those that were here last year, we focused a lot of attention on Joseph. 4 weeks of emphasis with Joseph and his unexpected wonder. And this morning, for one Sunday only, we're going to give it up for Joseph. We'll place some emphasis on him, but next Sunday what we're going to do we're going to have the light shine on Mary when we hear from Luke in his gospel account. So with our choices low down, with this news that was received by Joseph, first by Mary, and then by, of all things, an angel of the Lord, there's no way to whitewash this. There is no way to whitewash what he's been told. It's a story that seemingly, I was thinking about this, it seemingly jumps off of today's headlines. No matter what news channel or social media outlet that you're watching or reading, we could go CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they're all going to run with this because they're waiting for their clicks, counting them out. Mary's pregnant and Joseph isn't baby daddy. And can you imagine the amount of embarrassment right now that Joseph feels? The scandalous horror that's contained within this extremely uncomfortable situation. And this is our introduction to a man who is known as being righteous. Now, I want you to understand this moniker is not lightly thrown around, righteous. Because while it may come across as a good thing, it's usually associated with those individuals who are or are going to be seriously affected by suffering, even though what they're saying and doing is the right thing. And here's where the age-old question, it may have crossed Joseph's mind, the question of why in the world do bad things happen to good people? And sadly, sometimes the righteous do indeed suffer. And just because we're, cross your fingers, solid with the divine creator, doesn't mean that we can skip the line for what is known to be a ride of hurt and heartache and disappointment. Herein lies the first of the choices to be made within today's scripture reading. What we have in this particular portion is, what will Joseph do? Because by right and law, he can have Mary stoned to death. He also has the ability that, you know, he can avoid the stoning part and just have her publicly shamed. But at the same time, that also shames her loved ones and her household, her entire family, and that's a lifetime of shame, a choice. He has these options, harsh ones applicable to Mary, to back out of this whole big mess, but what does Joseph choose to do? Dismiss her quietly. Joseph decides to push aside the tabloid feature that places blame on Mary, and instead, he's willing to take on the full brunt of the blame. You see, they were officially engaged, and it would have been definitely assumed by others, by his silence or otherwise, that Joseph gave Mary the baby bump before they were married, because they were still in this one-year formal engagement. Suffer the consequences is what Joseph is willing to do. So Mary and the baby then have a chance. Now, I'm going to take a momentary stop here before proceeding because I was reflecting on this of what if this situation were to be happening in our present time, what Joseph and Mary are facing. What will Joseph do expands even to more dire choices and consequences. Because you talk about stress, and I want you to take this further for reflection. Is what would you do if you were in Joseph's shoes today? Mary telling you this, what choice would you make? All right, so going back to the scripture, Joseph has made up his mind, and he goes to sleep, and it's then that an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Yeah, sorry, Mr. Angel, but because you see, that's not a hope-filled, it's going to be all right nudge on the arm that Joseph just got. Because what you've just presented this man with is a challenge. It's a challenge, a huge challenge, to set aside everything screaming crazy town at you and fully accepting this message as the new reality. This, my friends, isn't fake news. For whereas we could certainly understand where Joseph would be filled with this overwhelming fear, and I mean, who wouldn't be when you're told that, one, your wife-to-be is impregnated by the Holy Spirit, but then, two, You're to raise Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, who will save his people from their sins. Oh, there's no pressure at all in this one, right? Not within this divine command. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what the challenge is, because this is a call to resist. This is a call of refusal to live in fear. This is to take on fear and transform that into action. It's a call to respond daringly and courageously. I want you to be very clear, and I'm being very clear about this. Joseph had zero hard evidence to back up any of this. There was no DNA testing back then. Nothing. All there is a promise. Keep this family together, and you'll be raising a child who will be the savior of the world. Choices. Complex choices. Or taking a further step in the decision-making, choose God's way or the easy way. Which is it going to be? Because to choose Jesus means we're going to also choose a cost. So what will it be? And then we slide into the other portion of this story in today's scripture, and this is the part where the villainous King Herod comes into the picture. And by the way, we also get this dose of the wise men from the east, the magi, and they're really not part of the Christmas story, but isn't it nice that we can put them in the Christmas crèche, right? I mean, because what's a holiday party without them? But we're going to set aside the wise men, and we're going to go back to he who is known as Herod the Great. And as though we don't already have enough tension within this story, let's ratchet it up some more, because we have one of the all-time tyrannical rulers who governed with an oppressive heavy hand. But on top of that, add uber paranoia into the mix. This is a man that if he felt or he even sensed anyone might want his crown, then it was off with their head. I believe it was three of his sons and his grandfather-in-law and one of his wives, off with their heads. His loyalty was twofold. Definitely he was loyal to the government of Rome. However, I think that he was more loyal to himself. And if you thought he was doing you a favor, know that it wasn't without something, him wanting something from you. His ulterior plan was to have your complete loyalty. Just because he built up a temple for the Jews worshiping God didn't mean that he did that act as a piece of a compassion or out of the goodness of his heart. Because his heart was winter cold, chillingly dark. What Herod did when he was building up that temple was to build up his own reputation, to deepen his hold onto that throne and enhance his own power. So, you might be thinking, all right, well, where's the choice as it relates to King Herod? Well, it's in the question that came from the wise men, because they asked him, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? Now, Herod at that point could have chosen to have his heart filled with joy, to join the wise men and pay homage to the Christ child. He could have turned over a new leaf for a transformational life. However, since this was a man who lusted for power, and that's a choice that would have been at best a passing thought, the thought of paying homage to this Christ child, because it would have no traction. You see, baby Jesus was considered a threat to Herod, and not just a threat. He was an extreme threat against his throne, because no one else is going to wear his crown. And in this instance, whereas Joseph was challenged with do not be afraid, it was fear that took hold of Herod's heart and mind and took the reins. In their opportunities of choice and response, you have Joseph on the one hand who is obedient, and you have Herod on the other who is defiant. They each had a significant hand in their own destinies. Choose God's way or their own way. I'm going to shift gears just for a moment, still incorporating choices, and I want to briefly address a topic. And in fact, I've been having discussions this past couple of weeks about what we, the United Methodist Church, or the faith community of Harmony Toluca Lake, which is part of Hollywood UMC, that we mustn't sweep under the carpet or ignore, because that would be a bad choice. The topic, in essence, is who we will be. What will the denomination be in 2019 and the years to follow? For those who do or don't know, in February of 2019, a special session of the General Conference for the United Methodist Church has been called, in which delegates from around the world will gather together in St. Louis to determine the denomination's future. I am one of those elected delegates as a first reserve for the California Pacific Conference, of which we, Harmony, Hollywood UMC, are a part. Bluntly, we are in a struggle. We are in a fight within the denomination, spending lots of money, millions of dollars, as well as time and energy. For many delegates, what happens, we have for many delegates in the moderate to progressive realm, the choice to do this is extremely important to make further progress in the acceptance and affirmation of those who identify as LGBTQIA. For other delegates in the conservative traditionalist realm, they prefer schism. They prefer to splinter the United Methodist Church, to have all who disagree with their one reading of Scripture to leave the denomination. That goes for every local church, every local pastor, and every bishop. Interestingly enough, 2/3 of the Council of Bishops have sided with the choice opportunity for acceptance and affirmation, even though local churches may disagree on this issue of human sexuality. These bishops believe it is the best option to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and yet they are being heavily attacked for their choice by the conservatives of the UMC, who have point-blank stated and said, if they don't get their way, they're leaving. And if they do get their way, we can leave. And both of these headstrong ways by the traditionalists, they have serious repercussions and ramifications. Nevertheless, as the third largest denomination in the country, behind the Catholics and the Baptists, in February, we're going to the table. We're headed to the table in St. Louis to deal with this significant issue. And my friends, there is great potential that we'll be able to show a big cross-section of the country, as well as throughout the whole world, what we think is right and more Christ-like. Being the largest denomination to date to address this issue and come to a hope-filled, affirming decision. Will it be God's way or the easy way? Because in this instance, the easy way is to take one's marbles and just go home. God's way is about wholeness and community, even when there's disagreement. I am of the mind, full on, that a stand must be taken for affirmation of our brothers and sisters who have been cast aside far too long, and that's also the choice of the delegates of the California Pacific Conference and the delegations within the Western jurisdiction, because why would we want our denomination to continue to harmfully separate LGBTQIA individuals from the body of Christ? Amen? Christ's call is for all of us, which means the entirety of the denomination, to respond daringly and courageously. Because there's no challenge too onerous to take on. So ultimately, what choice will the delegations in February make? Will they fall into fear's hands and not change? Or will they embrace, do not be afraid, and do the righteous thing? Bringing us back to today's scripture in Matthew, with everything I've shared this morning, when we put together a world filled with fear, and man, we have plenty of that going on right now, but the guarantee of Christ's presence, Emmanuel, God is with us, with the promise of the Holy One's constant and steadfast work to restore and heal us, these are key elements in Matthew's birth narrative, telling us, live your life without fear, even in the midst of troubling times. No matter what you, me, no matter what we are going through, God is in it, with us. The Creator of all is at work in the midst of uncertainty, because that, my friends, is where God lives, in the uncertainty. That's how a mysterious God operates. Just beyond the reach of our sense and sensibilities, but fully approachable through our faith. I'm going to say that again. Fully approachable through our faith. Will we choose to trust God through the ups and downs of life? You know, it's not easy when we're hitting rock bottom. Will we choose to follow Christ's teachings in this difficult world that screams at us otherwise? And, whoo, we have lots of people yelling, and they're screaming loudly and persuasively. Will we choose to advocate, as Matthew did, for a Jesus who's already here with expectation and anticipation in our hearts? The choices are before us. How do you choose? My friends, let's choose, as Joseph did, to live out the new and higher righteousness of the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, the Christ-led choice. Amen? Amen.
Angels, we have heard.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Come to Bethlehem and see.
Come to Bethlehem.
Go in peace. God bless.